Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Welcome to another episode of Loyalty Counters Lore's Day. I'm Akeem.
And I'm Roman.
And we're here with the double hitter, no quitter, Lore's Day, as we go over the last two stories that were released. Last week I was sick, and Roman was preoccupied with many different life things. So yeah,
scheduling just didn't quite work out. But exactly. We figured something out so that we shouldn't necessarily miss any stories from this point
exactly. forward. And we're not going to be like we did early on where we had to go through the entirety of all nine stories in one go.
So yeah, let's get down to our starting loyalty, shall we? So last week's story, much like my prediction, was called The Writing on the Wall.
Mm-hmm. You could read it.
It was written by Allison Lures, who is the community manager for Magic the Gathering.
Hi, Allison, if you're listening.
She's been on many a things, mm-hmm. Including Loading Ready Run. Mm-hmm.
That was a pretty funny sketch she was on.
I enjoyed that. Mm-hmm. Previously, she's written In the Dead of Night from Aether Revolt, Born of Aether from Kaladesh, and Tyrants from Conspiracy 2.
Indeed, Electric Boogaloo. Now, the one thing to mention is that In Dead of Night and Born of Aether are both Yeheni stories.
They are.
Mm-hmm.
And Yeheni was very well written in those stories. I enjoyed them very much, and them, not the stories, but them as in referencing Yeheni.
Indeed.
Yeheni is genderless.
So is it there and it and all that jazz.
So anyway, story synopsis was the city of Noctemoon is too perfect to be real. It is glistening and immaculate, and its citizens are young and full of faith. Determined to uncover Nicol Bolas's intentions with the plane, Nyssa and Chandra explore the city in search of answers. What they find challenges every assumption they had about Amonkhet. I mean, sure. So, yeah. As it stated, you know, this story followed Chandra and Nyssa. I was correct.
Mm-hmm, you were.
In calling out that this was not a plane that Nicol Bolas created, rather a plane that he took.
Yeah, which all your other predictions line up pretty nicely, which he doesn't care what happens to this plane if he has to destroy it. Mm-hmm. In Hour of Devastation.
Very possible.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if it's been infested by parasitic planeswalkers.
Mm-hmm.
He might just poof this plane out of there. But I guess not necessarily important to note, but there was a bit of controversy with this story.
Mm-hmm.
As the story was posted, and then there was a change made to the story. It was edited. We'll show right here what the changes are, possibly, or at least put a link to the it's a small change, just a little bit of text. Some people were saying, oh, it's downplaying the potential relationship between two female planeswalkers, or like, oh, it's they're trying to back away from a potential homosexual relationship or something. But I mean, if you look at them, yes, the first iteration was a lot more blatant. Mm-hmm. In the like, oh, I like you, I'm not really looking for that right now type of thing, and the change was a lot more subtle about it. But personally, I just think the change came about because the original iteration was just out of character. Mm-hmm. Just completely out of character. Like, Chandra's been very flighty with her admissions of feelings, I guess, which is kind of counter to her being a red planeswalker, but very in keeping with her personality. You know, she's not really able to voice it all that much. Mm-hmm. And in the first iteration, she very, like, blatantly came out and said, I like you this way. And that's just not Chandra.
Mm-hmm.
And then Nyssa, who was very oblivious to everything and not really understanding these kinds of relationships between individuals and stuff, or at least not focusing her mind and energies on it, was like, I understand that this is a thing, but I am not interested in that right now, which is also very out of character for her. So they changed it to a much more just friendship. Yes. Done. Like, Chandra was still in keeping with her character, not able to fully voice what she was meaning. And Nyssa, in keeping with her character, did not understand at all what Chandra was saying. So
I still think shame on Wizards, though, for not doing that change prior. Because it's kind of, even though it probably, that does a good reason, but it gives off the wrong impression when you do that. Especially considering their stance. They don't like editing stories once they go out. So for them to, like, want to do this, so either they really care about the lore a lot, in which this is legit, or it comes off appearing something more than it really is.
Yes, and I'm not going to make excuses for them. However, I will say that there is always the possibility of, oops, I uploaded the wrong file. You know, that there is that possibility. Again, not saying that that was the case in this scenario.
Just got to be open to all possibilities when something like this is. It's not automatically the worst case scenario.
Yeah, and to claim that they were trying to downplay a homosexual relationship or something, or like going back on it because they were afraid of it, is kind of honestly a little silly, considering that they had a trans character recently that was just kind of like,
they had
a story completely, and they were very blatant about it. So for them to be okay with being with voicing that and not voicing a homosexual relationship, when at least in societal views in the media, like, one is more quote unquote controversial than the other, is just kind of silly. Like, I highly doubt that they were like, well, we're okay having a trans character, but not a lesbian.
We're also okay with having gay guys in Commander.
Yes, but not women. Like, come on, guys.
Yeah, so.
And girls, not to discriminate.
And people. We are very welcoming of all people. Not to
discriminate even more.
And aliens.
Shh.
No. No aliens.
So what was this week's story?
This week's story is called Servants, and it was written by Kelly Diggs. Previous works from Kelly is Unwelcome from Shadows of Innistrad, Liliana's Indignation, also from Shadows of Innistrad, and Laid to Rest in Conspiracy 2. Synopsis for this story. Spending her days served and waited upon by scores of devoted undead is precisely Liliana's idea of paradise, but she can't afford to sit idle in Amonkhet. She came to the plane to find and kill another one of her deeming creditors. So, straight to the point on that one. A note about Kelly. They have written a lot of Jace and Liliana interactions in the past. Mm-hmm. Unwelcome and Liliana's Indignation specifically have those two, like, in detail. Also, Kelly has written a bit about the Raven Man as well. Granted, from what I saw in the archives, it's not the main person that usually write Liliana's newer backstory, but very much in charge of, or at least the go-to person for interactions between Jace and Liliana when they're involved. Just those two.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. With that, it's time to tick up. So, let's start with positives of writing on the wall.
Mm-hmm.
First positive, I was right.
That's so biased.
And I appreciate them acknowledging my correctness.
Specifically, they targeted Roman and was like, hey, shout out.
Mm-hmm.
You were right.
Immediately, the week after I made my claim, they were like, yep, this guy's got it.
You had it since Aether of Old.
Actually, yeah, probably, because that's when I was But either way, aside from that, well written. Aside from the controversy of the change, I enjoy the interaction of the gods as always.
Yeah, they're so rather, interesting.
I guess I should say I enjoy the interaction of Oketra, since Oketra is literally the only person that they've interacted with.
At least verbally.
Yeah, at least verbally.
Because Heseret was like, my Biden.
I mean, yeah, but aside from a nod, it was just kind of like, that's a god. Bye. And Oketra's the only one who's been like, talking. Hi. I am a god. Let me explain things to you. Interesting twist on the three extra gods that don't seem to be here.
Right? Like, that's really amazing to me, because specifically, I wonder what colors. Like, yeah. For real. Because clearly we have the five main ones, but Nicol Bolas is like, oh yeah, you guys need to go. Too strong.
Something happened. See, it could have been that they were too strong and he couldn't change their memories.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, really, who knows? And are they even dead?
Or are they just sealed away?
Yeah, because technically they are indestructible.
And the ley lines themselves have been forced down.
Yeah.
So maybe those guys were also forced down. Who knows? Like, I just like it. I like the mystery in Nyssa uncovering the mystery.
Yeah, when she was like, wait a second, these carvings are newer. They're old, but newer. As well as the reasoning as to why there are no old people.
Yeah.
Aside from old people suck.
It all.
Booyah, youth.
Dang. Don't be ageist.
I'll be ageist and ageist.
No. But, also, I liked how, couple of the side characters were really interesting. At least they were different than what I was expecting them to act, like the green black vizier.
Hapatra.
Yeah, Hapatra. Yes.
She was funny.
She was pretty
she made adorable. A joke. I like Hapatra. I like Hapatra a lot more than Temet.
Yeah, Temet has a stick up his bum.
Yeah. You know? But Hapatra is definitely a different take on green black.
I like that exploration, though.
Yeah. And I hope we get to see more of Hapatra.
I think we will, personally.
And I hope Hapatra doesn't turn out to be bad. Or killed.
Yeah, that would be bad. I mean, we already know what's kind of going to happen to Temet because of the card, unfortunately. But
what card?
His actual card.
What happened?
He has involved.
Oh, he does, doesn't he?
So, yeah.
Like, wait, what are you talking about? Yeah, I suppose that does indicate that he may die.
At a young age at that.
Yeah, but I mean, technically everyone on this plane dies at a young age.
But once you die, the plane brings you back.
But once you die, do you really die?
I mean, yeah, you just come back.
Do you really die?
I mean, yeah.
They explore that in Servants.
Oh, yeah, they do. Because what Servants is all about, at least what I liked about it, aside from already mentioned, Lillian and Jason interactions are pretty adorable, natural. Yes. Jason and Lillianna find a temple of sorts where they actually find out about the mummification process, the embalm, because they were curious about why these mummies, these zombies, these undead, if you would, are so subservient and why are there so many. And it turns out that the initiate...
And also why they were all injured.
Exactly. Every single one of them were injured. So it turns out the initiates who failed and died in battle are then embalmed to become the new undead servants.
The anointed.
The anointed, yes. So they do not have a glorious afterlife.
I mean, no, they don't.
They don't.
They do not receive a glorious afterlife.
They do not receive a glorious afterlife because they failed in their trials. They're not chosen. And the funny thing is, it all comes back full circle. According to hieroglyphics and images that Liliana and Jace uncover, Razageth
Razaketh.
Razaketh, thank you, is the one behind this process of reanimating the dead, in a sense.
At least he is in charge of the, according to the hieroglyphics, he is in charge of the, he protects the gate or guardian of the gate or whatever to the afterlife.
Exactly.
So it could be, not necessarily assumed, but he was probably put in place there by Bolas.
Probably.
Which would make sense by the fact that Bolas led Liliana here and encouraged Liliana to make the deal with Razaketh, or at least he made that process possible. So whether he was put in place there by Bolas, or I guess hypothetically he even could have been created by Bolas, because at that time they were still very powerful.
Correct.
I think. Or were they not? No, they weren't powerful at that
point. So they probably enslaved or made a deal with Razaketh.
Yeah, something probably happened. But either way, Razaketh was probably put in place there by Bolas, whether he was created by him or just put in a place of power. Right. Either way.
And Razaketh himself is actually able to see Liliana and Jace through...
through his hieroglyphics.
Yeah, through the hieroglyphics.
His images.
Yeah, and Liliana felt that presence, the only thing really protecting her being the chain veil from the contract taking hold of her.
Which is a very interesting thing. I want to know what this contract is.
Yeah,
she specifically said... the chain veil, or maybe she didn't say it, maybe she only thought it.
No, she said it.
She said it? Okay.
She said it to Jace.
She said that the chain veil was protecting her from the contract being activated.
And that's what Jace was like, great.
So, what was the contract?
Was it
what
your
is
soul?
The activation? Was he going to take her soul right then and there? Oh, maybe she was going to turn into a mummy or one of his slaves.
Probably, because the moment that he saw her, all the mummies started saying her name.
Liliana.
And then, when things couldn't get worse, here comes Temnant, who appears to have control through his cartouche, and the cartouches of the other mummies, able to control them.
Somehow, yes.
Somehow. This also kind of ticks in, I like the flavor and connection with his card, whereas other tokens have plus one, plus one.
At the beginning of combat, token does.
Just kind of like that.
Yeah, yeah. He kind of gains control
of it. He gains control of the mummy, empowers him. Or in this case, a token, but you get it.
But either way, yeah, their cover's blown.
Yeah, cover's blown completely. Jace was able to take control of Temnant just enough for them to escape, but not able to wipe his mind. Sorry, no mind wipe, Jace.
No mind wipe.
Mind wipe. So, yeah, and now Liliana has to depend upon her new friends to possibly help her, though Gideon probably is not going to be interested, to be honest.
I guess it depends on when it lines up, whether it'll line up
before
his trial of ambition or after his trial of ambition.
Correct.
Because either way, we do know that he is going to get disillusioned by the plane and the whole process. Although, now that we know that the gods' minds were wiped... we know that they themselves are not evil.
Right, they're just they're pawns in a game here.
Right, so that does kind of take away the whole, he's going to rise up against these gods now, because he has no reason to.
Yeah, he's going to try and more than likely get their memories back.
Try to free them.
Try to free them and get the plane back on track, in which Nicobolas is like, oh man.
Dang it, guess I'm blowing up a planet.
Exactly. So, you know, all in all, it's fine to me. I also like the description in the beginning with Liliana. They describe the picture of Liliana.
Of her Walker card?
Yeah, and that was nice. Obviously, the Raven Man becomes an illusion, but that leads me to a darker path.
I'm very curious about what the Raven Man is, because he obviously exists.
Correct.
Because she mentions the fact that Jace might see him or rather, she mentions the fact that he's afraid of if Jace might see him, or rather, what he might do to him. Which means the Raven Man, he exists somehow, whether it's in her mind or not. The Raven Man acknowledges the fact that Jace
could actually do something.
Could do something to him. Mm-hmm. But we still don't know what he is.
Apparently, he activated the Chain Veil, so he has power.
Yeah.
Somehow.
See, my current assumption is that he is a complete fabrication of Liliana's. He is not really a physical being. Rather, he is something that a projection from her mind, from her desire to save her brother and all that.
I agree.
So that's my current prediction.
It kind of lines up, especially with how they were talking and everything.
Yeah, and she said that he was afraid of what Jace might do to him. And if I was a creation of a mind, I'd probably be afraid of someone who has control over minds.
Mind wipe.
Who could just
Raven Man.
Well, that section of your brain is gone.
Yeah. Pretty easily, too.
And why he was able to activate the Chain Veil.
Correct.
Because he's in her head.
Exactly.
But either way, I guess that will bring us to Ticking Down.
What goes up must go down.
So what are your negatives on... let's start with writing on the wall.
Yeah. My negatives on writing on the wall. It kind of connects to our discussion over the Nissa card itself. They're clearly pushing Nissa to being scrying eyes. It's like they released the card art, and we kind of know that Nissa feels ley lines of planets. There's a reason why she's called the World Waker. But in the beginning, it wasn't really described as if she was, like, reading the world. It was more so that she was scrying into the nature of the past, of the architects, the deep core of the plane. So, and they're kind of stealthily saying, like, hey, there's a little bit of blue here. She's going to see Kefnet and blah, blah, blah. Make her understand this. And it's like, I need to see the end game here, because what you're proposing is that now a main walker is a dual color. So then who is the true representation of green? Because that's what they're supposed to be. The true representation of their color.
Yeah. She was kind of supposed to be the main green walker, now that Garrick is not a mono green walker.
Mm-hmm. Exactly right. So, like, the two major instances of main walkers being color shifted. Ajani's made sense. He comes from a Naya plane. And at the time when he was red-white, it was during the entrenched battles against Nicobolas' revenge against his brother.
And it was not just a subtle change in her person, and his, rather, personality of, oh, he's angry now. It was like he is summoning and utilizing the red energy within him.
Right, but then when he came to Theros, that shifted to more of a white and green mentor figure, and he's held on to that.
Which was also not just a subtle change in personality, it was him pushing down the red and bringing out the green mana that is inherently within him.
You also saw that in Aether Revolt story, when he was struggling, almost a little bit of a struggle, when he faced down that guard, he's like, I could kill him. But I need to hold back.
And instead of using the bladed section of his blade, he used the non-bladed part.
Yeah, he kind of just, like, bunted him with and knocked him down.
He was like, I could cut you in half, but instead I'll bop you on the head.
So then, and then the other thing, with Garrick, he was cursed with the Chain Veil. So clearly infusing him with that black mana, and he's accepted it.
Which was also not a subtle change in personality.
Mm-hmm. And I hear other things people say, like, oh, well, Sarkhan shifted, and, you know, other planeswalkers shifted. That's not the point. They can shift because they're not the main five.
And my thing with Sarkhan is that he's not really beholden to this existence anymore, since he does not exist technically anymore. Like, he was never born here. He's from outside this world. So he's not beholden to those same rules. But yes, Nissa's supposed to be the core green walker. Walkers outside of the core can do whatever the fuck.
So either you're introducing a new green mainstay, which, I mean, okay, fine.
I'm a little pissed about it, but okay.
All right. Or you're saying that all of a sudden now the main five can be whatever color that they need to be for the situation.
Gideon, angry. I am now red white.
Which changes the paradigm of what you set up. Because every change that you've made has been huge and impactful. So whatever story thing you got lined up, it better for real change her core.
These can be excused by like, oh, it's a picturesque shot of like them at that moment. By that token, Jace and Innistrad very likely should have been blue red because he was going insane, kind of ish. Mm-hmm. That's not really excusable. Same
with Chandra red and white for being a freedom fighter in Kaladesh.
Right. So you can't really just say like, oh, it's a small image of their overall self. No, like, every person's personality is multifaceted. Like, no one is just a base green person who is like, life, only life, 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 life. Like, no, no one exists like that. And the walkers are no exception. But that's not to say that they should change when a certain part of their personality becomes more pronounced. Unless what they're potentially getting at is that they will introduce a new core green walker, mm-hmm. and Nissa will be our first five-color walker because she's from Zendikar and she's in every planet and the ley lines and access to all five colors. That would maybe. But if they put her right back to being mono green, I am going to forever be pissed about this card.
Yeah, like, she can't be mono green anymore. I also feel like, from a design standpoint, going away from story for a minute, they probably did this because they exhausted a lot of her green abilities, to be perfectly honest. As Wizards have already stated, they understand about the Gatewatch problem, that they've made too many Gatewatch Planeswalker cards, and they're going to be shifting that.
But
That. Are you trying to say the name? I just call it Ixalan.
Ixalan. I could. I legit could not remember.
Yeah, Ixalan. But yeah, no. So the thing is, we have World Waker. We have Voice of Zendikar. We have Nature's Artisan. We've had
that other green vital one.
Yeah, Vital Force. And we've obviously had the Flip Walker. So she's done a lot in green, and they all feel very similar. Make a 4/4, make a 5/5, turn your land into this, turn your land into that. So they kind of exhausted it. So design was like, hey, let's mix it up. You could have easily made that another walker, though. You didn't have to make that Nissa.
One, they could have made another walker, but more importantly, the only change was she scries. Like, she still makes elementals.
Yeah, she still makes the land bend to her will, because that's a core part of her magic. She still
does something with the top card of your library.
She never.
Yeah, she did. Flipwalker did.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Top card of your library. But this one is based more on her scaling, so this is more gimmicky in a sense that you can scale with her.
Yeah.
So she's good in a ramp deck. So design-wise, I see it, but you could have easily chosen another walker. But, again, we gotta see more stories to see this is justified, but until then,
it's poop.
Yeah, not particularly happy. That part aside, I mean, you had a thing
with this. I had a thing?
They got to this sarcophagi and was like,
oh yeah, so my thing was, so they were tracking down this rebel lady. They were, like, tracking her mana and stuff. And they were like, oh, we have to find her. And they go to this alleyway. And they're like, oh, my gosh, there are all these sarcophagi. And then Oketra and Gideon come up. And Oketra's like, don't approach those sarcophagi. And they're just like, okay. And, like, done. And it's like, well, the lady is clearly, like, dead or something inside that sarcophagus. And you're just Bye. Like, what happened to that plot line? You just ignore the fact that, hey, her mana brought us to this row of coffins, essentially.
Like, granted, we're not saying that they need to fight against the gods right then and there, but at least have a discussion like, hey,
wait,
we were led here. What if they're in one of these things?
Or some conversation of, is she in one? And then Okatra...
It's probably going to happen later because of the story spotlight number 4, which shows them destroying artifacts to get the people out of it.
The whatever deliverance.
Yeah, which I get it. No, no, it's a red card.
Oh, it's a red card?
Red X. Destroy X artifacts.
Oh, I was thinking of the deliverance where they're, like, pulling the where she's, like...
Yeah, but no, this one actually where Chandra and Gideon are carrying people out of the sarcophagi. Yeah. So... It's going to happen eventually, but they clearly, they could have at least had a thought that they knew that.
Yeah, it wasn't even like a cliffhanger. It was more entirely of just like, and it ends, bye.
Like, okay. Like, it felt like it was made more for the moments, which is okay, but storyline-wise, we were kind of like, okay, left us off.
And that's my only issue with that one.
Yeah, that's it for me. We talked about the Nissa thing.
So, servants?
Servants? How long are they going to keep dragging out the Jace Liliana thing? As cute as it is, it's just like, guys, see, can you just screw each other already? Like,
just fuck!
Like, for real?
Take off your clothes and fuck!
I mean, I get they're going to drag it out more and more, but it's just starting to be like, okay, there's not too much more development. It's just Jace and Liliana basing off their history, not much movement going on.
Like, I mean... I forgive them just a little bit because it is a choice that they're going to have to make of, are we even going to have planeswalker relationships? What are the implications of having two people in a relationship? They probably want to prolong it more now that they're actually using it for, like, character development and stuff. And then also the whole, like, well, who's our first relationship going to be? You know?
Then have it challenge the status quo. Don't let it be the same stuff. Like, you lied to me. Again, you air my head. I don't like that.
Man, you know what this reminds me of?
I hate lying to you, Sammy. Why are you doing this to me, Dean?
Next episode.
I hate lying to you, Sammy.
This is fucking bullshit Supernatural. Oh, anyway.
Goodness gracious.
Don't fall into the Supernatural trap. Don't do it.
Yeah, please don't repeat the same character arcs again and again and again. Let them grow beyond that. Like you kind of did with Chandra. I mean, she's still kind of teetering here and there.
Like,
but clear growth has happened somewhere.
Like, okay. We've already gotten to the point where they've had that conversation and Chandra realizes that Nissa is either not interested or not in a place to reciprocate any feelings, or she doesn't even understand the fact that there are feelings. So, who's the other person that she's shown interest in? Gideon. Who else is available?
Gideon.
Who will probably reciprocate feelings?
Gideon.
So let's move past the Chandra Nissa thing. Like, I'm not saying, like, oh, they shouldn't be in a relationship. You know, ship whoever you want. Anyone can be in a relationship. I have no strong ties to any of it. But let's have her, like, explore something else. Like, okay.
And maybe Nissa's not... now going to be like, I don't like that.
Now that Gideon and Chandra are fucking.
Like, I kind of don't like that. Type of deal. So yeah, aside from that though, I liked story. It's not really too many other dislikes that I'd have with it per se. I mean, it's just the same old standard Liliana Jace interaction. You can kind of put those two together and they write themselves, but how long does that get before it starts to get stagnant?
Well, I was actually about to say my biggest issue with it was that in terms of dialogue and all that, it just felt a little bland.
It's pretty like, it's like, okay, Jace Liliana, ticka, 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 ticka. It wrote itself. I didn't have to add any...
Lied to me!
I didn't have to add any special flair to it. I mean, it got to the point. It did its job. Story told, revelations made, got me interested. Want to know what happens next. But, yeah. Those are it for my downs.
So, final thoughts?
Final thoughts. Overall, both stories, in my opinion, were quite good, despite the issues that we had with them. I've noticed, though, every single story thus far, minus one, I mean, it's only been 4, but 3 of these stories, we've kind of been like, Like, it's good. We got the story told, but these issues here, here, and here.
Yeah, nothing's really, like, blown me away or been like, this is perfect.
Except for the Gideon stuff has been really good. Like, they need to focus on that again soon. Yeah. I get we got to figure out what everyone else is doing. But definitely go back to what's going on with Gideon, because this is the crux. Like, it also, apparently, he does get a power-up as well, so you want to see that growth. Like, that's really interesting. A planeswalker growing in their power. Normally, we just say, okay, this is a planeswalker, this is what he does. The Jace is the mind, Liliana's necromancy. But no, Gideon's, like, his heromancy power is starting to expand. So what does this mean for Chandrick? And now, I mean, they showed that too with last time, as the white fire.
But yeah, no, definitely how Chandra was like, wait, I can focus fire.
And now Gideon's like, wait, I can make a shield. So now, wah, 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 wah. I guess this is like, wait, I have blue.
Wait, I can reach your mind.
I mean,
she better not be able to fuck that shit.
What if Jace and Nyssa become a thing? Then Liliana's like, oh, well, he'll be back. And then she doesn't come back. Well, no, Nyssa needs someone to cry to with Chandra and Gideon.
You know, if Gideon. I know I said, you know, ship whoever, but I absolutely do not ship Jace Nyssa. That is.
I didn't say I shipped it. I just said that I can plausibly see them trying to do that.
I cannot even condone that ship. Don't you dare ship Nyssa. Jace Nyssa.
You almost made the name.
Well, it could be what? Jissa? Nace?
No. Janissa.
Fuck that.
Janissa. Yeah.
You know what? I'm done with this shit. I'm passing the turn.
So that's going to do it for another episode of Loyalty Counters. You can follow us on Twitter at @loyalty_counter. You can also catch us on YouTube. Subscribe to us there. Follow us on Facebook. And check us out right here at mtgcast.com.
You can find me on Instagram at @tyromantok. I do a pack-a-day opening.
We also share those on our Twitter.
Yes, that too.
You can find me at Musamichi. That's MUSAMICHI.
For the inner Vorthos in all of us,
this has been Lore's Day. We'll see you on the uptick.